Hey everyone, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the place where Rick Warren brings you uplifting messages from God's Word every day to help you grow deeper in faith and live a life with purpose. Today we're continuing in a powerful series called Toolbox for Life. In this series, Rick teaches us four essential skills that you need to succeed wherever God has placed you. Whether it's at home, at work, at school, or in your community, these are tools that every follower of Jesus absolutely needs. Okay, now here's Rick with part two of a message called Ignoring the Naysayers.
One time, Moses sent 12 spies in to spy out the promised land. Two of them came back with a positive report saying, we can whip these guys. God's prepared the place for us. We're ready. And 10 of them came back with a negative report, said, we can't do it. We're little weaklings. We're like insects in their eyes. And that's typical. The majority of people were against it. And they could have stayed out of the promised land. In fact, they did for another 40 years because of a negative report, because the majority was wrong. God had already brought them out of Egypt. Don't you think he'd take them into Israel? Yes. But the majority said, we can't do it. And the negativity spread around. And so we have, first, delay, and second, we have discouragement. Now, why had everybody given up in Israel? Because they were listening to the wrong voices. Verse 16 says, for 40 days, twice a day, morning and evening, this Philistine giant, this Goliath, loudly berated the Israelite army. So every day they're hearing for 40 days, morning and evening, you guys suck, you guys are weak, you guys are losers, you're never going to make it. You know what? If you listen to that long enough, you're going to believe it. So here's my question. Who are you listening to about your life? Are you listening to people who say you'll never amount to anything? You can't do it. You know what? You may be listening to yourself. You lie to yourself all the time. Did you know that? Just because you say something to yourself doesn't mean it's true. A lot of times you say things are good when they're not. A lot of times you say they're bad when they're not. And so just because you tell yourself something doesn't mean it's true. What voices are you listening to? You need to be listening to God. If you listen to negative statements long enough, you're going to become negative. You get paralyzed. And sometimes when you're in work, you're in an office, you're in a project, and everybody says this problem cannot be solved, what you need is a fresh set of eyes and a fresh set of ears from the outside. And that's what happened when David, the little shepherd boy, shows up on the scene. He hadn't been on the front line listening to this negativity every day, morning and evening, day after day, week after week, month after month. He wasn't infected with it. A new guy comes in and goes, we can do this. I'll take this guy on. God's with me. God's with you. We can win this. It takes an outsider. The Bible says this in verse 23. As David talked with his brothers on the front line, they were fighting. He'd just gone to visit them. He saw Goliath start shouting his usual threats to Israel's army. And when the army heard Goliath, they all ran away in terror. If you don't get anything else, get this today. Don't hang around negative people. Your best friends should not be naysayers. If they are, they're not your best friend because they're holding you back through discouragement and delay. Now, there's a third naysayer David had to deal with, and this actually was his own brother, his elder brother. Write this down. A third kind of people is his brother questioned his motives. And that was a hindrance. And there are going to be people who question your motives. When you share a big dream, they just think you're on an ego trip. When you share a big goal, they just think you don't know what you're talking about. They don't know that you're trusting God. This is the barrier of disapproval. There's the barrier of delay, there's the barrier of discouragement, and there's the barrier of disapproval. Now, this is the one that hurts the most because we all want to be liked. We want people to approve of us. Particularly our own family. We want our own family to think we're cool. And so when a relative, particularly a family member, thinks you're not cool, that's hurtful. You're always going to have naysayers, and you may even have them in your closest relationships. Now, here's an example where his brother questions David's motives. David sees what's going on, and he sees this Goliath out there, and everybody's afraid to take him on. And in verse 28, David asked, what's the reward for killing this guy, for killing this Philistine? What's the reward for killing this Philistine and ending this disgraceful abuse? Now, when David's older brother heard this, he heard David ask this question, he burned with anger at David. Okay, this guy's jealous. He doesn't like his younger brother asking questions about taking on Goliath. And his older brother says, why are you even here anyway? Why aren't you taking care of your scrawny little flock of sheep? You cocky little brat. Doesn't this sound like sibling rivalry? You cocky little brat. I know how conceited you are. Now, let me ask you, who's really the conceited one here? It's the older brother. I know how conceited you are. Now what have I done, said David. Can I even ask a question? Can't you hear the youngest person in the family saying that? Now what have I done? Now what have I done? You know, all I did was ask a question. What's the reward for killing this guy? David's older brother questions David's motives. He treats him with disdain. He treats him with disgust, with disregard. He belittles him. Now, I hate to tell you this, but sometimes there are family members in your family who don't want you to succeed at your dream. It upsets the apple cart. It changes the equation. It shakes up the system. Who's really conceited here? The brother. And by the way, people often misinterpret confidence in God as conceit. David has great confidence in God. His older brother does not. And when David goes, I'll take this guy on, David's older brother looks and goes, you're nuts. You're just conceited. You're egotistic. You're a conceited little brat. And people who don't hear God judge people who hear God as cocky and conceited. And they go, what do you think you are? Well, that's not it. I remember years ago when we bought the first piece of property for Saddleback Church. It was this property, Lake Forest Campus. We now are going to have 16 campuses. And this is 120 acres. And it's a very expensive piece of property. And I remember rumors got out all over South Orange County that this little church, because we only had about 1,000 people at that time, was going to go try to buy 120 acres. And so I would go around in South County while we were trying to get this property, and I would hear people in the barbershop and in the grocery store going, who do those people think they are? That Saddleback Church. They're going out there, they're buying something. They're buying more land than Saddleback College. They're buying more land than Saddleback Hospital. Who does that church think they're going to go buy? I don't know any church in California that has a 120-acre campus. Who do they think they are? And the noise got so loud, I actually had to address it. And one Sunday, I got up and I said, you know, I know you guys are hearing these rumors through the community, and they're asking the question, who do those people at Saddleback think they are? I said, they're asking the wrong question. The question is not, who do we think we are? The question is, who do we think God is? All right? You let the size of your God determine the size of your goal. If you only attempt in life what you can do in your own power, you're going to have a puny little life because you can't accomplish much just by yourself. But if you let the size of your God determine the size of your goal, then you're going to have a big God, you're going to have a big goal, and you only know a goal is from God when you can't do it in your own power. If your goal in life is something you're going to achieve on your own, it's not a goal from God. Because God will give you a goal that will so stretch you and grow you and deepen you and pull you and challenge your faith, it'll be so big you're bound to fail unless God bails you out. That's the kind of goals that God gives. And so, the people on the outside, they go, oh, those people are cocky. Listen, when God gives you a dream, and it's really from God, that others have attempted and maybe failed at, you will be misjudged, you will be misunderstood, you will be maligned, you will be called cocky or arrogant or out of touch with reality or whatever. But they haven't heard what God told you to do with your life. Now, by the way, when David asked this question, what's the reward for killing Goliath? He did actually find out the answer. And there were three rewards for anybody who would kill this giant. Number one, you would be given massive amounts of wealth, and you would instantly become one of the wealthiest people in the nation of Israel. Second, you were given the king's daughter, Saul's daughter, to marry. And third, this is the best of all, you were exempt from taxes the rest of your life. Are you kidding me? I would have gone after Goliath for that one. Okay. No taxes the rest of my life. Okay, those were the three rewards for anybody who took on Goliath. But there was this brother who said, you're doing this out of ego. Now, there was a fourth naysayer, and I want you to write this down, because all four of these you have to deal with: delay, discouragement, and disapproval. And the fourth one is the experts. So write this down. The experts doubted his ability. And in your life, there will be experts who doubt your ability. And David had never served in a war. He had no military training. He wasn't an army ranger. He wasn't a Navy SEAL. He wasn't a Delta Force. He wasn't special ops. He had no training at all as a professional warrior. The only thing he had is he had a little slingshot, and he knew how to use it real well. He once killed a bear and once killed a lion. These were in the days when there were a lot more animals, obviously, in Israel, to protect his sheep. So he had killed things with his slingshot, but he had no professional training. And all the authorities and all the experts and all of the professionals said, this kid can't do it. He's a pipsqueak. He's an amateur. He can't do it. And so when King Saul hears about David volunteering, this little shepherd boy, volunteering to take on a giant that everybody else has been afraid to take on, Saul calls him to his office. And David says this, verse 32 in the Bible. David says to Saul, "Don't worry about a thing," David told the king. "I'll fight this Philistine." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way that you, a shepherd boy, can go against this Philistine, this giant. You're only a boy, and he's been a professional warrior all his life." Circle that word, professional. He's saying, leave this matter to the experts. David, you are inexperienced. You should leave it to the pros. And I'm going to tell you this, that in your life, there will be people who will say that to you. "You're not a pro at this. Why are you even trying to start this business? Why are you even doing this hobby? Why are you trying to build this ministry? You're not a pro at this." Oh, and leave this to the experts. You're an amateur. I want to tell you, just like I said that the majority is often wrong, the experts are often wrong. They're not always right. I have here, this is a copy of a very famous letter now in the publishing world. It was written to me by a publisher in the middle of 2002 when I was writing the book Purpose Driven Life. And I had sent the publisher the first draft of the book. And this publisher, expert, wrote back a 3-page letter on why this book would never, never, never sell a copy. For those of you who don't know, it became the best-selling book in the world for 4 years. It became the best-selling book in world history. 62 million Americans read The Purpose-Driven Life. It's translated in 137 languages. It's the most translated book in the world except for the Bible. But the expert said, nobody's going to read this book. And then he gives me 5 reasons why Purpose-Driven Life would never, never sell. And then, this is the clincher. He says, his recommendation on page 3 is that I hire a freelance writer, a professional, to rewrite the book. Well, I politely wrote back and said, "Thank you. I'll take it to another publisher. I believe this book could make history." Now, some people would say, that's cocky. No, no, no. God had told me to write the book. I'm not a professional writer. I'm a pastor. I've never taken a class on writing. I want to remind you that the ark, Noah and the ark that saved the world, was built by amateurs. Professionals built the Titanic. I am an amateur. I'm an amateur pastor. You know what? I love the word amateur. I'm proud of. Why? Because amateur comes from the Greek, the Latin word amor or amore, you know, love. An amateur does it for the love. A professional's paid to do it. I'm not paid to be pastor of this church. I do it for free. I don't take a salary. You know that. I'm an amateur pastor. I do it for free. I do it out of love, not out of money. But the professionals are, the experts are often wrong. By the way, before I go on, I want to mention, how did David learn about Goliath? Since he was just a shepherd boy working back in the fields, his dad had held him back because he was willing to serve in small ways. And God said, you've been faithful there, and I'm going to let you have a bigger opportunity. Let me show you a verse. Look up here on the screen. 1 Samuel 17 says this. David's father said to David, take this bread to your brothers on the front line and take this cheese to their commander. That's how he ended up going up to the battle scene, seeing Goliath, goes, well, I'll take that guy on. He wouldn't have seen him if he hadn't been saying, his dad said, take this bread and take this cheese. Now, here's the moral of the story. Before you get to David and to fighting Goliath, you may have to serve some cheese and crackers. Are you willing to do that, or is that beneath you? God looks for people who are willing to do the little things before he gives them the big things. God looks for people who are willing to do the insignificant ministry before he gives them the heroic ministry. Are you willing to serve cheese and crackers, or you just want to go take on Goliath? David proved faithful even in the little things of life. Are you faithful? Have you been proven faithful in the little things of life? Do you do the little things that nobody else sees? That shows your faithfulness to God, then God says, I'm going to let you take on Goliath. So he did that. I will tell you this. I've learned this from personal experience. Small kindnesses often open the door to bigger and better opportunities. Sometimes you just be kind to somebody out of just being kind, and it opens the door to bigger, wider. It puts you in the right place at the right time, and that's what happened with Goliath and David. Now, how do you handle the naysayers in your life? There are four things you need to do. This is a skill you have to learn if you're ever going to be a leader. So let me give these to you. Write these down. Four things that David did, the skills of leadership, on how to handle the naysayers in your life, whether it's a parent or a brother or the crowd or the experts, whether it's delay or doubt or discouragement or disappointment or disapproval, whatever. Here's the first thing. The naysayers in life. Number one, remember, they are not God. They may be good people. They may love you. They may be great people, but they're not God. And so don't treat their opinion like it's God's opinion. Remember, they are not God, the people who are negative in your life. Proverbs 29, verse 25 says this. The fear of human opinion disables, but trusting in God protects you from that. I love that in the message. Some of you are disabled and don't know it. You have a disability. You know what your disability is? You're addicted to the approval of others. And that's your disability. The fear of human opinion disables, but trusting in God protects you from that. When you trust in God, you don't worry about the opinion of other people. Today's English version says, it's dangerous to be concerned with what other people think of you. What other people think of you is none of your business. What other people think of you is none of your business. You shouldn't care about what other people think. You should only care about what God thinks of you. And if you care about what other people think of you, you'll get paralyzed. You won't attempt things. Some of you have been locked in a prison of self-made fear. And my job as your pastor is to help open that door, help you break the chain, help you get out and become who God wanted you to be, to go after that dream. You'll get sidetracked from God's purpose for your life if you're living for somebody else's purpose.
Such a great message from Pastor Rick today, and I hope you were just as encouraged as I was. You know, the truth is, desire and determination alone aren't enough to succeed in life. So many people already work so hard, but real success isn't just about working harder, it's about working smarter. It's about working God's way. Did you know that the Bible is packed with practical instruction to help you do just that? Yeah, that's why Pastor Rick Warren created the Toolbox for Life Bible Study. Through this powerful study, you'll discover and develop four essential real-life success-building skills straight from God's Word. These are skills that will equip you to make a difference as you lead with confidence and clarity in your home, at work, at school, and in your community. The Toolbox for Life Bible Study has four video sessions taught by Rick and includes a companion workbook. It's perfect for personal growth or small group study. So be sure to request your copy of the Toolbox for Life Study Kit today when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the Word of God to a world in need. It's our way of saying thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.